a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
PUC meeting will come to order. This is Commissioner Chris Nelson. I will be running the meeting today. Commissioner Gary Hansen is on the phone, and Commissioner Feagin is with us in the committee room today. With that, we will go to the first item on the agenda, approval of the minutes from the February 27th meeting.
Mr. Vice Chairman, so move.
Move to approve the minutes from the February 27th meeting. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carried. The minutes are approved. We will go to consumer reports. Deb Gregg is not with us today, and so we will go to Kristen Edwards.
Thank you. The commission received a total of 52 contacts since the last report was prepared for the March 4th, 2014 commission meeting. Six of the contacts involved telecommunications services, 15 of the contacts involved electrical services, six of the contacts involved natural gas service, three contacts involved cell phone service, nine contacts were related to the Do Not Call Registry, one contact was related to the Grain Warehouse Division, one contact was related to One Call, one contact was related to Wind Energy, and 10 contacts were related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 402 of the 442 complaints received in 2014 have been resolved.
Thank you. Do we have any tough questions for Kristen? Commissioner Feagin.
I could ask a tough one.
I'll relay it to Deb and have her get back to you.
When we're at home shows and we get some complaints that the consumer division needs to relook at and follow up, can you ask if that is in this number?
Yes, I can.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Seeing none, Kristen, thank you. We'll move into the electric dockets, EL 13-032, in the matter of the request for approval of an electric service territory boundary agreement between Lake Region Electric Association and Northwestern Corporation. David Henry.
Thank you, Commissioners. This is David Henry with staff. This docket pertains to the GIS mapping project. Both companies have signed a service territory agreement saying they agree to the legal description and maps that we have presented to them. Staff recommends approval.
Thank you. Mr. Goglin, anything to add?
I have nothing to add.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, in EL 13-032, I move that the commission approve the proposed electric service territory boundary agreement.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to EL 13-038 in the matter of the request for approval of an electric service territory boundary agreement between Traverse Electric Cooperative and Lake Region Electric Association. Mr. Henry.
And this is David Henry with staff. This docket also pertains to the GIS mapping project. Both companies have signed a service territory agreement saying they agree to the legal description and maps. Staff recommends approval.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Is there a motion? I will move in EL 13-038 that the commission approve the proposed electric service territory boundary agreement. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. EL 14-014, in the matter of the request for approval of electric service territory boundary agreement between Lake Region Electric Association and Northern Electric Cooperative. Mr. Henry.
Hey, this is David Henry with staff. Also pertains to the GIS mapping project. Both companies have signed a service territory agreement saying they agreed to the legal descriptions and maps that we have presented to them. Staff recommends approval.
Thank you. Questions? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chairman, in EL 14-014, move to approve the proposed electric service territory boundary agreement.
Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to EL 14-016 in the matter of the petition of Northern States Power Company, DBA XL Energy, for approval of its 2014 transmission cost recovery eligibility and rate adjustment. And I will go to probably Kristen Edwards first.
Yes, thank you. Kristen Edwards for staff. Staff is just requesting the standard filing fee of up to $50,000 to account for actual expenses incurred in this docket and for the imposition of the tariff to be suspended for 180 days beyond the filing date.
Thank you. Mr. Pauley, anything to add?
Mr. Vice Chairman, Xcel Energy accepts the requirements of a filing fee, and we understand the suspension of the tariff. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion? I will move. Go ahead, Gary.
Mr. Chairman, I will move in EL-14-016 that the commission assess a filing fee up to the amount of $50,000 to account for actual expenses incurred in review of the filing, the commission suspend the imposition of the tariff for 180 days beyond February 21st, 2014.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to EL-14-021 in the matter of the filing by Otter Tail Power Company for approval of tariff revisions. And I am going to go to Dave Prazik first with Otter Tail. Dave.
Good morning. This is Dave Prazik from Otter Tail. On March 10th, Otter Tail made a filing which is seeking approval of some proposed changes in our tariffs on a less than 30-day notice to the commission. We are making some updates to our electronic bill paying services, and we've made some of those changes in the tariffs, and I'm here for any further questions.
Thank you. Eric Paulson from staff.
Thank you. This is Eric Paulson from staff. Staff would just like to add the main change is they updated their vendor, decreasing the per transaction charge by $1 down to $2.25 per transaction and increased the max payment allowed from $350 to $700. And staff would recommend approval of the tariff revisions on less than 30 days' notice.
Thank you, Eric. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion? I will move in EL-14-021 that the commission approve the tariff revisions on less than 30 days' notice with an effective date of March 18th, 2014. Discussion on the motion. Commissioner, I would simply say appreciate the company's efforts in finding a vendor who has reduced the charges for their consumers. Always like to see that. It'll make it a little bit easier for folks as they're making their credit card payments. Other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to Pipeline Safety Docket, PS-13-008, in the matter of the filing by Commission Pipeline Safety staff for approval of a penalty of a pipeline safety violation by Montana-Dakota Utilities, East River area. And understand that Tammy Aberle is now on the line from MDU. Tammy, appreciate your being on the line. Mary Zander, I'm going to go to you first. Mr. Kaneke is at the podium, but Mary, I'm going to go to you first, unless Kristen wants to handle it.
Either way.
Go ahead, Mary. Mary Zanter, are you there?
I apologize. I forgot to take the phone off mute. This is Mary Zanter from staff.
Okay, go ahead.
This violation involved not having employees qualified for the tasks that they performed as per the operator qualification requirements. Nathan conducted this inspection, and MDU was aware of what items would be inspected. Two of the four people operating valves for the valve inspection activity were not qualified as required. The operator identified the employees that were assigned to the task, so they had the opportunity to ensure that the employees had the proper qualifications. In my opinion, this violation demonstrates how easily an unqualified person can be asked to complete a task that requires a qualified person. Fortunately, this situation did not create any hazardous conditions, but it did identify the potential for a similar situation that could result in an incident. South Dakota Pipeline Safety Inspectors, we don't have a history of filing a lot of complaints, but we do feel the responsibility to identify probable violations when warranted. Since the incident at San Bruno, there's been extra scrutiny on the inspection process. BINSA audits our gas safety program to ensure that issues requiring enforcement are identified. I feel that our role is primarily based on identifying shortcomings and making corrections, and really it's to the operator's advantage that we look carefully at all aspects of pipeline safety to point out areas where they can make improvements and have a safer system. It's much better for us to identify these compliance issues before an incident occurs. Therefore, I think that the actions provided by this this action is just as is justified. If there's any other questions, I'm willing to answer them.
Thank you. I think we'll take all the testimony and then go to questions. Ms. Edwards, anything to add?
Nothing more. Just staff recommends approval of the joint motion for settlement stipulation. Both parties think it's fair in its result.
Okay, we have Mr. Kaneke representing the company and Ms. Aberle on the line. So, Brett, go ahead.
Well, good morning, commissioners and staff. Brett Kaneke from Pier for Montana Dakota Utilities. We do ask for the commission's approval of the settlement agreement and the joint motion. In the circumstances involved here, during a routine inspection, Nathan reportedly, to me at least, asked the people from the company who were present to check a valve to see if it was capable of being operated. They did so, and then he wrote them up for not being in compliance with the regulations requiring them to be certified to do that. It would be our position that there was public safety was not compromised at any time. The valve wasn't completely closed. It was simply partially closed in order to ensure that it was operable at the time. We think the settlement agreement is fair in its result, and we'd ask you to go forward and approve that and let everybody move on from here. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Aberle, anything to add?
Not at this time, Commissioner.
Thank you. Questions from the Commission. Commissioner Fegan.
First of all, thank you for coming together and coming to an agreement. Pipeline safety, of course, is extremely important for everyone, and certainly safety first is MDU's number one priority, and I think all our utilities. First of all, for Ms. Zanter, I know you didn't do the inspection. I know you were kind of thrown in the middle of this, and I realize that our inspectors are under more pressure from PHMSA. I mean, day by day, the pressure continues to grow. And I know in the last week it probably continued to grow, and even 2 weeks ago it continues to grow. First of all, does the inspector work with the company? For example, item number one, with the odor detection and the date of the calibering that, I think, was found out that that was not a violation, and yet there was a formal complaint filed. How do we work with companies to make sure that maybe a formal complaint doesn't have to be filed if there's not a violation?
I will answer that. This is Mary Zanter with staff. I believe that the first issue, which was dropped, there is a requirement that the calibration of equipment is done per manufacturer's instructions. And in that case, there was a bit of a discrepancy on what annual calibration meant. And I believe that's something that we are looking into further to, I guess, identify if that's something that we want to add into the regulations in South Dakota as to what the definition of annually happens to be, and whether it requires each calendar year or if it's within 365 days and that sort of thing. So because of the discrepancies on definitions, I guess that one was the reason basically that we felt that that one would be dropped for probably for future discussion. In general, we definitely try to work with the operator when we identify violations. And in many cases, you know, it's based on the severity of the violation and the consequences of that violation that would indicate whether or not it should become a situation that a complaint is filed.
Did you say the severity is when a complaint's filed?
The severity of the violation would be one factor. Also, you know, if it's something that happens frequently and there's been more than one violation, it would be another situation.
So my question is, Ms. Zanter, does our pipeline inspectors work with the company beforehand to ensure that we're not filing a formal complaint when there really was no violation?
I think if we look at the history of events that have happened this year, and Kristen can possibly help me out with this, but we had a previous docket where we hadn't done a formal complaint, and there was issues surrounding that because we hadn't done a formal complaint, that they didn't want to take action. So it's a fine line between when we actually file a formal complaint compared to when we issue a report and ask for a corrective action. So kind of, I guess, we felt we had learned a lesson and started filing formal complaints when we found situations, and since that time we have realized that we probably need to have a little bit more discussion up front prior to the filing of the formal complaint. So there's, I guess we're in a situation of learning with how to best address that issue.
Correct, and I know you guys are under a lot of pressure by PHMSA and all of us. All of us really want you to do a great job, and I don't think any commissioner would not want you to file a complaint if there was an issue that needed to be corrected. The only concern I have as a commissioner is when there isn't a violation and nothing needs to be corrected, and then one of our companies is put out there when a complaint is filed, it's hard to ever take that back. Even if it wasn't actually a violation, it's kind of like when you're arrested and somebody has you on the paper and says, oh, you're a felon, but the courts found you weren't. It's still out there. And so that's always hard. And so I just wanted to kind of have that discussion. Also, it appears that this has been about a seven-month, I think it was filed in August. Ms. Center, can you tell me why it would take 7 months to come before the commission, or what that process looks like? Is that normal, or has this been kind of a long, drawn-out affair?
I would say it has been a drawn-out affair, and I'm going to ask for Kristen to answer that. I think she's been more intimate with the process of getting this before the commission.
Yes, I can answer that. This is Kristen Edwards for staff. We did file the complaint, and then we did give the company some leeway with time to answer so that we could sit down and meet with them one-on-one. So we didn't ask for the answer to be filed within 20 or 30 days like we normally would. However, even after that time passed, we did not get an answer for a few months. And then we hit session, and we understand that everybody's busy at that time, so it took a few more months that way. So there was definitely a communication breakdown, and I think we've gotten that resolved. And we've worked together very well in the end.
So for the
Commissioner, if I could, Brett Kaneke for the company, and I'll take some ownership in the delays. My availability during session isn't what I'd like it to be, and leading up to that, it wasn't as good either. So I would take personal responsibility for the delays. It would be my observation that Nathan's not being around and difficulties on our end in getting the witnesses together to figure out what happened here was also, that's some part of that, but I'll take ownership of the great majority of the delay myself.
Thank you. And for Montana Dakota Utilities, we're all very proud of the utility you run, and you have, I think, over 8,000 miles of pipeline. For Montana DuCal utility staff, I believe you think safety is absolutely number one. Do you believe the organization of your paperwork and all that that surrounds pipeline safety is at a level of excellence that our inspectors can do an inspection and go through your books quickly to make sure that they understand the integrity and management of your pipeline safety program?
Commissioner, this is Tammy Eberle. I also have with me Pat Darris, our region director, today, and I'll let Pat respond to that question.
Good morning, Commissioner. Yeah, I would say that, I mean, we feel confident in the record-keeping procedures. You know, we're working through a few things on the technical side, meaning that we're implementing a couple of new programs, but for the most part, you know, we feel very confident that the records are there, available. You know, it may take a looking up via paper or via electronic, but we can always get that information to staff when requested.
Thank you. Just for the record, I want to make sure that people understand how much we appreciate how hard everybody works on pipeline safety. I believe there has been a breakdown of communication. Some of that's because we lost a staff person to PHMSA that absolutely watches what we do. And as commissioners, we have to make sure our program stays at the very highest level and communication is quick, and that we take care of stuff quickly when there is a violation or there's some issues. And a lot of this is paperwork, but we just want to make sure that we respond quickly and work together and make sure that our people are safe. Thank you.
Commissioner Hansen, any questions?
Yes, I do. Thank you for asking. I very, very much appreciate the discussion that was, I don't want to say instigated by Commissioner Feagin, but was propelled by her. I think it's, well, the question I have is, perhaps Ms. Zanter or Ms. Edwards could answer, was Nathan the only inspector present? Was he the only one that participated in the inspection?
This is Mary Zanter with staff, and that is correct. He was the only staff person involved with the inspection.
Thank you. Then perhaps someone from representing the utility could help me out. Did Nathan request these persons to manipulate the valve?
Commissioner, yes. This is Tammy Eberle. That is my understanding. That was part of the inspection. Yes.
So they did not have any intention of operating the valve. Did they hold themselves out as being valve operators prior to his requesting them to manipulate it?
Commissioner, the employees there are long-term employees and are qualified to operate a valve. What happened was they had completed the classroom portion required to perform the task, and this is a task that they've performed many, many times. But what we did not have documented was a performance evaluation form. So it truly was a paperwork issue. But again, both of these employees were long-term employees and really qualified to operate the valve.
And yet they were requested. They would not have operated the valve except for the fact that they were requested to operate it by the inspector, correct?
That is correct.
Commissioner Hansen, this is Mary Zanter with staff. If I may add some information.
Please, go ahead.
As inspectors, when we go out and do valve inspections, for example, as this was the case, we don't select the employees which we want to do that task. That is completely selected by the operator. So it was, and they know in advance as to which items we are inspecting, and we will, you know, say this is the, these are the valves that we want to operate, and they have the opportunity to select whoever they wish to do that task. So it's not as if we specifically stated we want employees X, Y, and Z to do the work. Just want to make sure that that's clarified.
Thank you, Ms. Anner. I appreciate your explanation and clarification on that. I just simply want to avoid a situation where an inspector is requesting a particular person to do some work, and then it's a gotcha type of a situation. As a locally elected official, when a gas company in near Sioux Falls had completed some work as part of the celebration, they invited a number of people out, and I actually manipulated the valve at that time, and certainly was totally unqualified because they said asked me to open the valve, and I walked up and they showed me how, and I did it at that juncture with 2 seconds of this is the button you press and this is what you do here. So I'm just wanted to make certain that this was not the type of a situation, and we did not ever engage in a type of a situation where our inspectors would go out and do a gotcha type of a situation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just for the record, Commissioner Hansen, the entire hearing room is aghast at that admission on your part.
Could you strike that from the record, please, Mr. Vice Chairman?
Thank you, Commissioner Hansen. Just a couple of questions, and I think the first one probably for Ms. Edwards. The recommended penalty was $3,079, and the settlement, my understanding, is for $500. What's your justification for lowering it to that extent?
Thank you. The penalty amount is the one we suggested is calculated by the worksheet. The amount and the penalty isn't something that's important to staff. What's important is the remedial measures that are taken. So when MDU came back and, you know, counteroffered a different penalty, that was something that we had wiggle room on. The remedial measures isn't something we can move on. Things that weren't done right have to be fixed. But a penalty amount is something that we can move on for settlement purposes.
And so to follow up with that, I'm taking it that you at this point are comfortable that the company understands the importance of having the paperwork in order and on time in these kind of matters. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. The last question, and this one is for Mary, and maybe we'll kind of cover Commissioner Hansen's recent admission, but opening and closing a valve, give me a 30 or 60 second explanation as why this is a difficult task that needs to be certified for the employee.
Certainly, this is Mary Zanter with staff. The action of operating a valve in itself is not difficult, but there are situations surrounding the consequences of operating a valve that can have a great impact. For instance, if a valve is operated and you're opening a valve and putting more pressure onto a system than what is allowed, there could be an overpressure situation. Or if you are closing a valve and you shut off gas to a large number of customers, you have a large outage situation, which then requires a whole lot more actions. So it's not the task of opening a valve and putting a wrench on it and doing it in itself is not difficult to do, but understanding the situation of what will happen if that valve is open or closed is really what the important part of that action is.
Thank you. That was very helpful for me. I appreciate that. Any follow-up questions? Commissioner Feagin.
I have one more clarification question for Ms. Zanter and Ms. Aberle. In Ms. Zanter's testimony, she testified that 2 out of the 4 operators were not qualified. And trust me, my hearing's getting worse, so I don't think I heard it right. And then Ms. Aberle testified that they actually went through the training, that the performance records weren't complete. Tell me the difference between all of that.
This is Mary Zanter with staff. The process of operator qualification is a series of steps which includes training, performing a knowledge test, and performing a performance test. And each task has a requalification interval, which in some cases could be as much as 5 years, in other cases is a 3-year interval or a 1-year interval. So anywhere from 1 to 3 years. In this situation, I don't remember what the interval specifically was. They had gone through the additional training for their requalification, but it had not performed the testing aspect of it. So therefore, according to documentation records, they were not qualified to perform that task because they had not gone through the performance testing aspect in the subsequent year as required. So they had done it in the past, but it was the requalification period was passed. And
Ms. Aberle?
Does that help?
Right. And Ms. Aberle, could you give me your point of view?
Commissioner, that is my understanding as well. They had gone through the classroom portion required to perform the task, and what was not completed was the performance evaluation form. That documentation was not within the time frame required.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion? Commissioner Feagin.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Vice Chairman, in PS 13-008, move that the Commission approve the joint motion for approval of settlement and stipulation.
Discussion on the motion.
Just, I certainly appreciate staff and MDU working together. As you know, pipeline safety is very important to the Commission and PHMSA and everybody involved. It's a risky situation. We always want to make sure the integrity of our pipeline is up to date and make sure that our operators are trained properly. So thank you for working together.
Other discussion? I would concur with that. Obviously, balancing compliance with perhaps an inclination to be overzealous at sometimes is an important thing, and I think we've come to a very good resolution of this issue today and appreciate both sides working hard to accomplish that. Other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
That brings us to TC 13-026 in the matter of the study area boundaries for incumbent local exchange carriers. Brian Rounds.
Thank you. This is Brian Rounds for staff. As you probably recall, last year the commission approved a set of study area boundaries to submit to the FCC. And the plan after that was to go back through all those boundaries and attach them to geographic features, which wouldn't really create any material changes to the boundaries, but kind of get us a little bit more accurate and in line with what the FCC wanted us to do. Since then, though, the FCC's delayed sort of the final submission of those boundaries that we approved, the final deadline was actually yesterday to have those submitted. So now we will begin doing those geographical feature attachments. And also the FCC's clarified the process that they wanted. Originally, we were thinking we'd be resubmitting annually once a year, and that's all that they would allow. But now they're saying anytime there's a change, they want those submitted, and then they want at least biannual certifications. And I'm thinking as we go through these boundaries, we're going to have updates probably at least monthly, if not, even more frequent than that. And rather than have each of those small changes approved by the commission, what I'm asking for is for you to delegate that certification to me, and then still do a biannual certification by the commission. And to the extent that any of the companies have have a dispute or an issue with a boundary that I'm certifying, they'd be able to bring that to the commission.
Thank you. Is there any other testimony on this, Mr. Coit?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, and staff, Richard Coit with the South Dakota Telecommunications Association. Good morning. We, as an industry, rural carriers are very comfortable with what Mr. Rounds is proposing. So we would support it. I think just having the availability every 2 years to come in, if there should be any issues with any particular boundary certification, should give us the opportunity we need to address any inconsistencies. But, you know, to be honest, to this point, Mr. Rounds has been great in working with the companies and trying to make sure that all companies affected by a boundary change are okay with the change, and we have no reason to believe that won't continue. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other testimony? Seeing none, questions from the commission? Hearing none, Mr. Rizlov.
I was just a bit concerned if Brian gets offered a job by the FCC for doing such a good job here, if it should be broader and maybe just having staff with the authority to do that instead of just Mr. Rounds.
You've got me speechless. Commissioner Fegan.
Mr. Rounds, there was a territory out west where it wasn't serviced by anybody. So could you keep us informed if any of that changes? I think it was out kind of by Belle Fouche or by the Wyoming border, I believe.
Yes, we have two unserved areas, I believe, that one out there, and then there's one down kind of near Bonesteel. And actually, in shoring up sort of what the FCC took our submission and then asked us to review that it was actually what we submitted, and it was not. So in doing that review and working with, I think it's Northeast Nebraska that border that, they actually had a request to serve in there. And so they just corrected what their submission was, and they served like an extra, like, quarter of a section or something. But as we make those changes, we'll definitely let you know.
Further questions? Seeing none, is there a motion? I will move in TC-026 that the commission delegate to staff the authority to certify study area boundary changes as they are made. Discussion on the motion. I would simply say we've got to allow staff the latitude to do their job. And this is a huge job, a thankless job, and I appreciate we've got a good man on the job and doing a great job. Secondly, staff has proposed what I think are the appropriate safeguards in this, and the fact that we'll have this biannual review and also the ability to deal with any disputes. That's entirely appropriate, and so hope we can support this. Other discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Commissioner Hansen.
I agree with everything that you just said, very appropriate, and I very much appreciate staff bringing this to us. I think it's very important for regulatory agencies to streamline the processes when they can and take out the red tape, so to speak, and I think this makes a great deal of sense, and I appreciate staff putting it together for us.
Thank you. Other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Brings us to TC-14-004 in the matter of the filing by Envoy Voice Services for waiver approval. I don't see, is there anybody from Envoy on the line? Not hearing any, we will go to Kristen Edwards.
Thank you. Kristen Edwards for staff. Staff believes granting this waiver will not detrimentally affect the numbering resources in the Sioux Falls Rate Center. Based on our determination that the carrier has demonstrated a verifiable need for numbering resources and has exhausted all other resources, staff recommends that the request of Envoy be approved, and I will stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Hearing none, is there a motion? I will move in TC 14-004 that the commission approve the request for the waiver. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to items for commission discussion. There was an item posed to us regarding ARSD 20:10:26:04 sub 6. I would move to defer this until the April 15th meeting. Discussion on the motion. I would simply say that I think this may take a fair amount of time for us to adequately discuss this. We'd much prefer to have all three of the commissioners in the hearing room when we do that. And it's my understanding from staff that there's not a time constraint here, and so I think April 15th would be appropriate. Further discussion on the motion to defer. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That is the end of our agenda. The only announcement is the next regularly scheduled meeting will be Tuesday, April 1st at 1 o'clock. Note the alternate time, 1 o'clock on April 1st. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay, two motions to adjourn. All those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. We are adjourned.